Last week, we started talking about how the Holy Spirit works in our life. And we spoke about justification last week. And just a quick reminder, what is justification? Justification is when God says that a sinful person is now made righteous because of their faith in his son, Jesus Christ. That is the only way that we are justified. God justifies the sinner. And that is so important. And the moment that justification happens, another work begins in our life. And that's what we're going to be talking about today. We're going to be talking about sanctification today. And what is sanctification? Well, when I think about sanctification, I always think about godly men who have impacted my life. Okay? Godly men who have impacted my life. And if you are like me, your childhood memories will begin to kick in. And you'll start to think of some of those people that were in your life that were godly men who were giving you godly influence at the time. Now, I grew up in a small church right there in Dublin, Indiana, the Gospel Mission. And I can remember a few of these men that were pillars of my faith. Whether I knew it or not at the time, they were going to be men who were going to impact my life in a big way. I think of Raymond and Russell Prophet. They were two brothers, very godly men there at the Gospel Mission. And every Sunday you could find them there welcoming people in, along with a man named Ernie Neal. Ernie Neal was a very, he was an interesting man in my childhood because every Sunday morning, without fail, you could always hear Brother Ernie standing up and talking about how God was so good to him during the week. Another one of the godly men that impacted my life in a pretty profound way later in life, his name was Everett Davis. Everett Davis impacted my life, right? And I told Monica I was going to try not to make her cry, but here I am tearing up. Because Everett was a man who came to faith in God later in life, in his 70s, which is highly unheard of. But you know what? God impacted. Jesus impacted his life. He came to faith in Jesus, and I saw what sanctification would look like in a man like that. How Jesus was changing him each and every day. And it's important that we understand the sanctification. And this is the reason why I'm having so much trouble this morning with this message. Because sanctification is a work of God. And when we think of a work of God, we think of it as a process, right? From a man's perspective, I look at sanctification as a process. I am following steps 1, 2, and 3 so that I can get to the end result of the finished work. I have to go through this process. It's something that must be done. But sanctification isn't always like a process like that. Yes, we have a beginning, we have an end, but God's work in our lives, each and every one of us, is different. It is not always the same. It's not always the same. And sanctification is really a lifelong work in which we are being transformed into the image of Jesus Christ. God does the work, but yet we partner with Him. Now, if we were to look in Scripture, where would we go to find out exactly where and how sanctification begins to work? If we look at Romans 8, verse 29, it says, "For those God foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed into the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters." The follower of Jesus Christ is being conformed into the image of Jesus. That is what sanctification is all about. How am I looking like Jesus more and more with each passing day? That is the process of sanctification. That is the work of sanctification. That Jesus is being seen more in me today than it was yesterday. More in me tomorrow than what it was today. That is the goal. We are like lumps of clay in the hands of God, and He is the one who is forming us into the righteousness of His Son, into the character that He wants us to have of Jesus Christ. If you'll turn with me in your Bibles to John 17. That's where we're going to start this morning. John 17, and we're going to be in verse 17 through 21. And in this passage of Scripture, Jesus is praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. Before he goes to the cross, before his death, this is what he was praying. He says, "Sanctify them by the truth of your word, the word of truth. As you sent me into the world, I have also sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that they too may be truly sanctified. And my prayer is not only for them alone." He's praying for the disciples at this point. "My prayer is also for those who will believe in me through their message, that all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me." Such an important prayer, isn't it? Such an important prayer. And as we consider this prayer of Jesus, he was not only praying for himself that night, he was praying also for the disciples that were there with him, and he was praying for you and for me. He was praying for us that we too, all of us, would be sanctified. So how important is sanctification? It is very important. If Jesus is praying this the night before he goes to the cross, it speaks of the importance of what sanctification and the work that God is doing in our life and how important it really is. We may be sanctified. And how are we sanctified, church? We're sanctified through the words of truth. This is a precious gift. And it is a gift that we must use. Because God sanctifies us through His Word. As we read His Word, as we obey His Word, we are being transformed into the image of Christ. That is His primary purpose, His primary work, through His Word. And we have got to cherish it. We have to cherish it. And as we read it and as we begin to obey it, it's the living it out part that is the most difficult, isn't it? I don't know how many times I can pick up the Bible and I can start to read through it and I can go, "Scott, you need to be doing this. This is the way you need to be living." And then it's so hard to do. But that does not mean that we stop trying. We keep going and we keep trying to live it out. Living it out is the hard part of sanctification. And we're all trying to achieve that goal. What is our goal that we struggle with? What is the mark? Who is the mark? We know what the mark is, right? Jesus Christ, He is our mark. He's the one that we are trying to be like. Not in a physical way, but in His character. And we struggle and we try to live it out. You know, there are numerous aspects of our ever-changing character that we must consider when we're talking about sanctification. Jesus is the mark that we're trying to hit. He is the one that we're being molded into. He's the mark. And we're not called to be Jesus. We're not called to be that, but we're called to be like Him in His character. You know, and sometimes we can look at sanctification from I've already used kind of the analogy of an instruction manual. We have to do step one to get to step two, to get to step three, to get to step four, on and on and on. We can look at it that way, or we can look at it from like a roadmap perspective. How do I get from point A to point B? How many of you like to use GPS? I love GPS. I'm not very good with directions, but by golly, GPS will take me there. It'll tell me when to turn, where to turn, which exit to take, what lane to get into, which is even better sometimes. But the one thing I found out about GPS, it always frustrates me when I go and then I put home in to come back, and guess what? It takes me a different route. Why? Why does it do that? I don't know, but it does. What does that teach us about sanctification? There's more than one way to get from point A to point B. And sometimes we ourselves are the ones who get off track, and God has to reroute us to get back to where we need to be. So when I was considering sanctification and where do we go in the Scripture to kind of get an idea, to kind of get a direction on how do we get there, what do we do? I chose Psalm 51 this morning. So if you have your Bibles and want to turn to Psalm 51, we're going to be in verses 1 through 17 this morning. And I'm going to go ahead and read it, and then we'll talk about it. And the psalmist writes this: "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion. Blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgression, and my sin is always before me. Against you and you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are proved right when you speak and are justified when you judge. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. Surely you desire truth in my inner parts. You teach me wisdom in the innermost place. Cleanse me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all of my iniquity. Create in me a pure heart, O God, a renewed and steadfast spirit within me, and do not cast me from your presence, or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Then I will teach transgressors your ways and sinners will turn back to you. Save me from bloodshed, O Lord, the God who saves me, and my tongue will sing of your righteousness. O Lord, open your lips and my mouth will declare your praise. You do not delight in sacrifice, or I would bring it. You do not take pleasure in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a broken and contrite heart. O God, you will not despise." I love this psalm because it really does kind of give us a road mark or a road map and marks to hit when we're looking at sanctification. So I thought about it in terms of like plateaus. Plateaus in our spiritual walk, plateaus in our sanctification, however you want to describe it, it's kind of like this. I think that we have four of them that we can look at this morning. Number one is found in verses 1 and 2. "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash away all my iniquities and cleanse me from my sin." When we are justified by God because of our faith in Jesus Christ, He cleanses us from our sins. Now, I tell you what, you continue to grow each and every day, and I continue to grow along with you. So as I was looking at this week, I have thought of this from the wrong perspective in the past. God cleansed me. You have justified me. You have justified me as though I have never sinned. I was reminded yesterday that by golly, God knows every single sin that I have ever committed, I am committing now, or that I ever will commit. My sin is before Him. He doesn't look at me as though I've never sinned. He knows better. He knows that I'm a sinner, right? The same way with us. Same thing with you. He knows all of your stuff. He loves you anyway because you put faith in Jesus Christ. God justifies the sinner, not the sin. We've got it completely turned around in this country right now. We're justifying the sin to justify the sinner. Does God ever justify sin? Heavens, no. It is appalling to Him. And He will judge it one day. But here the psalmist says, "God, have mercy on me." Mercy is our first plateau that we look at. God, have mercy on me. a sinner. And I come to you, not just asking for forgiveness, but I am choosing to walk a different way. I'm choosing to walk in repentance. I don't want the sin anymore. I want your holiness. That is the work of sanctification. I trust God and I allow Him to do His work in my life. And I acknowledge that I am a sinner, just like the psalmist did as he starts. Now, the second plateau is found in verses 3 through 6. The psalmist says, "For I know my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, and you only, have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are proved right when you speak and justified when you judge. Surely I was sinful at birth. From the time of my mother conceived me, surely you desire truth in my innermost parts. You teach me wisdom in the innermost parts." Second plateau, when we are talking about sanctification, is wisdom. Now, wisdom is something that is not just looking at it, I know what the scripture says, right? Wisdom is not just that. Wisdom is how I respond and act to what the Bible teaches me. It's my reaction to it. And the psalmist is saying, God, I have sinned against you. And that is what is most important. He takes that knowledge and he says, okay, now what am I going to do with it? God, you know that I was sinful before I was born. And that's true. That's true. We don't have to teach a newborn what it wants, right? It lets us know pretty quick, hey, it's time for some food. Hey, I need changed. Hey, I'm not happy. And sometimes people say, well, is that really a sinful attitude? Well, give it some time. They'll teach you. Because the first word, it's great. I love being around kids at the house because they teach you so much. Lori can look at one of the kids in her house, and when she starts to do something that is not quite right, the only thing that Lori has to say is no. And oh my goodness, the tears and the crying, I can't believe you told me no. That's our sinful nature at work. I can't believe you told me no. And all the crushing that happens. But we need to have wisdom to say, okay, I see my sin. God, teach me your wisdom. Teach me your wisdom. And I'll do better. I have sinned against God is our second plateau, and we talk about wisdom. You know, when it comes right down to this transformational point of wisdom, Proverbs 9 verse 10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding." The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. We have to remember that. Understand that we sin against God, and we're deserving of His righteous judgment. And that should terrify us. But we take that wisdom and apply it to our lives and see where He has led us to. And He leads us to the cross where we can find forgiveness. Now the third plateau is found in verses 7 through 9. 7 through 9, "Cleanse me with hyssop and I will be clean. Wash me and I will be whiter than snow. Let me hear the joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sin and blot out my iniquity." When we look at these verses here, and we look at our next plateau, what's our next plateau? Throw it up there. Purification. As we are being sanctified day by day, we have to understand that we start out, and I think that didn't Carol do a little experiment up here not too long ago about purification? On how we take this dirty water and we make it clear again. That's what purification is in our life. That's what sanctification is doing in our life each and every day. We are being purified by God. We are taking and going from our sinful nature that is dark and murky and dirty. And God is cleansing us and making us pure in the name of Jesus Christ. He does that through and through. But guess what? It is a process. It is a work. I want to find another word for that process because it's starting to irritate me the more I say it. But it's the only way I know how to describe it. It really is. And God begins to do this work in our life. As we begin to get more and more like Jesus Christ, He is cleansing us from all of our unrighteousness. And it is a process, and it is a work. But how do we do it with Him? You know, that's the sad part about it. Some people will say, well, this is all God's work to do. He's the one who justifies. He's the one who sanctifies. And I don't have any part to play in it. And if you think you don't have a part to play in it, you're never going to get to that purification. You're never going to get clean. Because guess what? We do have a part to play in it. God is not going to twist my arm and force me to do something that I don't want to do. But He invites me to come in. And He invites me to work with Him in this process. And if I refuse to do it, I'm stuck in the mud. I'm not going anywhere. I lose traction. I lose my way. We have to remember that God is the one who's doing it. But He's doing it right alongside us. And we have a part to play in it. The fourth part of sanctification that I wanted to bring out this morning comes from verses really 10 through 17, but it's really verse 10. Verse 10 is the key in that entire length of passage there. Verse 10, create in me a pure heart, O God, a renewed and steadfast spirit within me. Create in me a pure heart, O God. Is your heart pure? Is my heart pure? That's something that we have to consider. It really is. What lives on this inside each and every one of us? Each and every one of us has the exact same spirit. Give me what I want, when I want it, and you better make it quick. It is a very sinful nature that lives on the inside of us. Even when God justifies us, even as God is sanctifying us, guess what? That sinful nature wants to be let out. It wants to be let out. What's that last plateau that we have?
You didn't give us one.
I already went past it. See, I love my tech team because they put up with me. They put up with me. By golly, we are being transformed into the likeness and the image of Jesus Christ. And the only way that happens is when I take my wants and desires, I take my sinful nature, and I put it where it belongs. On that cross. On that cross. And it demands to come down. It wants to come down. It wants to be satisfied. And the only way that we can have a pure heart is if God allows us to say, no, you don't get what you want, sinful nature. I'm walking according to Jesus. I'm walking with Him. And I'm doing things His way. I would love to say that sanctification is something that happens real quick. How many of you are completely sanctified yet? Nope. Not close. But guess what? He's still working on me, and He's still working on you. And that is so important. Because as He continues to work on us, our hearts become pure. I start thinking like Him. And the more I think like Him, is because the more I spend time in here, because He sanctifies me through His Word, I pray that I stay in this each and every day, that I desire it and want it, and I want to see what He's going to do in my life and in your life. That's the great thing about being, one of the greatest things about being a pastor, is I get to see God work in all of your lives. And I see it. I see it. Because He's doing an amazing job. Let's pray. Father, we love You and we thank You for this time that we've been able to be together. And I just pray that You would strengthen and encourage us, Father, as we are going through this sanctification process. The work of sanctification is so important. But Father, it only begins when we are justified through faith. And Father, we have to have faith in Jesus Christ in order to get onto the right track. Lord, and I just pray that You would just speak to hearts and minds this morning. If there's someone who hasn't made that decision, I pray that they make it. Father, that's what the work of the Holy Spirit does. He begins to work and He demands an answer. And I pray that people listen and they follow Him. Lord, we give You thanks and praise today for Your Word, for our mothers, for Your work. We just give You praise. In Jesus' sweet name we pray. Amen.